holy smokes, does this have to be quick? So, the Border Patrol is now facing some incredible legislation. They're calling out the border bill itself, which aligned more money to the Ukrainian border than it would for the U.S. border. $60 billion for the Ukraine, $20 billion for the U.S. border. Now, here is a little wrinkle in the legislation, and they're talking about how they can apprehend people coming into the country and also what counts as an illegal immigrant. Now, this is a very important distinction because they're only saying that the numbers that would apply to the daily limits for the amount of immigrants that are allowed into the country. Remember, I brought this up. It was supposed to be about 5,000 people were allowed into this country per day, which is not too much different than what's going on now. Now, there are two important distinctions, actually, now that I think about it. One, it's called encounters, right? You're only looking at recorded encounters, which means somebody, either DHS or the Border Patrol, actually made some kind of interaction with an illegal migrant. That is what's considered an encounter. Two, they are only counting encounters with people from Central America, essentially. So, in other words, if you are Chinese, Lebanese, Syrian, Iraqi, Afghani, Paki, if you're one of those countries, you, even though you may be speaking to DHS or the Border Patrol, you do not count as an encounter. So the numbers are going to be rigged. So let's just say there are 5,000 people that came across the border, but 2,500 of those people either came from Syria, Russia, China, you name it, some other country. Well, I mean, if that's 2,500 people, then, you know, there's only 2,500 individuals that came from Central America and South America. So we can fit in another 2,500 individuals from Central and South America, which means for the day, you could potentially be looking at a total of 7,500 people being let into the United States. Do you see how that worked? Do you see how that worked? 5,000 people a day from Central and South America are allowed into the country. But if there are people from other parts of the world getting into the country, they do not count towards that 5,000 person a day total. That's how they are rigging this. Then there was all of these social media videos out there that showed that these people that are coming across the border, they're saying, well, you know, we intend to vote for Biden. Well, how do you intend to do that, sir? Because as far as I know, you can't vote for Biden unless all of these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations that are smuggling people and engaging in human trafficking, unless those groups are telling these people that, yes, you can vote in the 2024 election somehow. Maybe these NGOs know something that we don't know. Maybe it's going to be something along the lines of absolute amnesty from the get-go, which would allow Biden to get more votes. But we all know if 2020 and 2022 is any sort of indication of how this election is going to go, then you don't need to be a citizen to vote. You just send in the mail-in ballots once, twice, thrice, four times more. And then, you know, your vote is going to be counted for the Democrat Party at 3 a.m. once they close down all of the ballot counting locations. So it's easy as pie. It's just wonderful to live in a country in this day and age like the United States. I mean, it's just absolutely sad. That's the only way to explain it. It's just sad because how could these people actually come to us, these people being Democrats and Mitch McConnell Republicans, come to us and say they're upholding the Constitution and they're the ones that are the bastions against tyranny and on and on. Yeah, no, you're not. You're not. You're really not. You are creating chaos. You're creating discord and you're relishing in it. You want to create discord so that everybody is looking in every single direction but yours. And then while everybody is confused, you swoop in and make a power grab. And before we know it, we have the separation of a border bill and a Ukrainian, Taiwanese, Israeli, and there was another country in there, defense bill that's coming out. Notice what they did. They tried to pair the border and these defense bills together, the money that was going to the Ukraine and Taiwan and Israel. And once that bill, that combined bill, didn't work, well, we'll just separate it. We'll make one bill for the border. We'll make one bill for foreign aid. And I can promise you that bill for foreign aid is going to sail right through the House and the Senate because nobody in those two branches or those two chambers are ever going to turn down more money for war and killing people, especially if those people are brown in another country. I mean, that's it. It's an easy, easy thing to do over in Congress. So, I mean, that's going to be easy as pie. It's fantastic. That bill was meant to fail. That bill that combined the border and that foreign aid, it was meant to fail so that they can potentially give more money to the foreign side of that bill and less money to the wall side of the bill, to the immigration side of the bill into the United States. That's why they did that. That's why they did that. And then they're going to hail it all as a compromise, a great compromise. Everybody's happy now. We can just ride into the sunset, and that's all we have to determine to move right along and get this country in a place where it should be gotten to. So there was something extremely, extremely disheartening, because what we're looking at here on the Supreme Court itself is nothing more than I swear to God, this is the only way to look at it, a DEI affirmative action hire in the form of Sotomayor. Yes, she is just a bumbling fool on this Supreme Court when she is trying to determine whether or not Trump should be on the ballot. And so that's what's in front of them right now. And it is not, I repeat, not looking good for the Never Trumpers, because what they're saying to these lawyers that are trying to make this argument that it's a state's right to remove Donald Trump from the ballot is just sad. It is just so shoddy that nobody on there, even Chief Justice Roberts, even he can't even say anything that would support the Never Trumper outlet. Okay, so I'm desperately looking for that article, and I cannot find it. Of course I can't find it. But here's the point. This is killing me here. Anyway, so there was an argument here that Sotomayor was confusing the terms, okay? She was confusing the terms of what is being argued. They're referencing, the defense was referencing a court case, and the court case had the same title as this is just going to kill me now. This is the problem here when you do quickly, when you do live, relatively live. Oh, here we go. I think I got it. Here we go. All right. This is it. Perfect. Perfect. So, Justice Sotomayor, I'm just going to read it. She is so stupid. Let me explain to you how stupid she is. Justice Sotomayor just asked Mitchell, is he setting up the possibility of some president running for a third term to bar the states on term limits? Mitchell responds, of course not. There appears to be confusion on the court. Mitchell was referring to term limits as in U.S. Term Limits, Inc. versus Thornton. So when you reference a court case, you usually shorten the whole court case so you don't have to sit there and say U.S. Term Limits, Inc. versus Thornton every time you want to reference the precedent that has been set in said court case, right? So instead of saying all those things, you just refer to it as a shortened version, such as term limits. Well, Mitchell is one of the attorneys. He's referring to the court case term limits, and this idiot, Sotomayor, Slobomayor, she's thinking that he is referring to the actual form of term limits in the process, in law, in a capacity of an elected official. That's how stupid she is. She can't make the connection that the phrase term limits is actually referring to a specific court case, and term limits is the name of a company. It's an incorporation. Sotomayor asked why he kept referring to the qualification of term limits in the Congress. and Chief Justice Roberts stepped in to clarify that this was a reference to the case. Hey, stupid, do you know your effing job? Justice Sotomayor just said that Trump is making a gerrymandered rule that would interpret the rule as not applying to Trump. And Justice Jackson then pushed the insurrection narrative. Oh, here we go again. Jackson demanded to know why Mitchell didn't believe it was an insurrection and is asking why it must be an organized effort as opposed to a chaotic effort. Mitchell called January 6th shameful, but explained that it was not an insurrection. Yes, it doesn't meet the legal definition of what an insurrection actually is, but these Democrats are playing stupid. Do you really think that these justices are that stupid? I mean, maybe Sotomayor, but these people are just going along with the narrative because they can't counter it. And if they do, then that means the whole idea of this narrative and rhetoric goes out the window, and the Democrats do not have a leg to stand on. That's how stupid these people are, and that's how stupid they think you are, right? Because they think you're dumb enough to go along with this. And, you know, there are many other missteps throughout this court case that is just, how are you being paid for this? How can you be a lawyer? How can you sit on the bench and make these determinations? It's just an excellent, excellent article to read. Go into Zero Hedge. Very beautiful process. Trump pleased after SCOTUS ballot ban hearing ends. So that's the name of the article. Go in there, read it. It's not that long, but I just don't have the time to continue it. And it's going to be it for me. As always, I'm going to be with Greg Bolden. So you can go over onto X and listen to Greg Bolden's wrap up for the week. We have a very special guest. We're going to get into how red states are turning purple and ultimately turning blue, and what the process is, how to recognize it, and what the corrupt practices of these Democrat World Economic Forum Bolshevik operatives are, and how we can fight back against it. I will be back next week. It's Chris Michaels for the Last Call Podcast.